Blog Talk Radio.
An old Cherokee is teaching his grandson about life. He tells the grandson that there's a fight going on inside me. It's a terrible fight. You see, this fight is between two wolves. One wolf, this wolf is evil. It's full of anger, envy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, and ego. Now, the other wolf is good. This wolf is full of joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. This same fight, he tells the grandson, is going on inside you and inside every other person too. The grandson, he sat there, thought about it for a minute. He looked up and asked his grandfather, "Well, grandfather, which wolf wins?" The old Cherokee simply replied, "It's the wolf you feed." Yeah.
Lord, it's so hard living this life, a constant struggle each and every day. Some wonder why I'd rather die than to continue living this way. Many are blind and cannot find the truth, 'cause no one seems to really know. But I won't accept that this is how it's gonna be. Therefore, you got to let me and my people go. 'Cause I wanna be free, completely free. Lord, won't you please come and save me?
Wake up, goddammit!
What you say? Hey, hey, hey. Good evening, good afternoon, or good morning. It all just depends on what part of the world you're listening. Bienvenidos, oki, namaste, and welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of the Greenhouse Effect Radio Show. My name is Will Green, holding down one half of our hosting duties. Live every Monday and Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time on blogtalkradio.com, holding down the other half of our hosts and duties. Some call him the Lions Historian. Others call him Unc. He's simply my best friend, my dad. And I call him Daddy-O, Bill Green. What's happening, Daddy-O? Good evening.
What's up, Wilfredo? It's been a while since I've done this, so let me let me do a little quick explanation of sorts as to why I refer to you as Wilfredo, my older brother, you know, who's gone now. You know, he used to call me Wilfredo. So William Green Jr. inherited the name Wilfredo, and until you have a son that you give your name to, you know, the third, Wilfredo is going to be stuck with you. So anyway, everybody, that's why he's Wilfredo to me. It's not that he has Spanish ancestry, though he probably does. You know, we are definitely a potpourri of many bloods.
We got a lot.
So there it is. You got a lot.
We got a lot.
As Mr. T said in Rocky III, we got a lot of more. All right. Anyway, enough of that. Silly. So what's up, man? How you doing? I'm rocking today. I'm not going to lie about it. I'm all over the place. And at the same time, I like this feeling. I've been all over the place in other ways, but I like this feeling I'm having of being all over the place. You know, it's feeling like an exciting moment in my life. And a person like me at my stage in life can never get enough of those kind of moments. You know, it's the irony, right? Growing old, you know, there's memories that remain no matter what. And I am one who believes, you know, character is developed through what is remembered. And even though I know I have many more life experiences than those I remember, nevertheless, those I remember, you know, is what continues to carve and shape my soul. At least that's what I believe, you know. So, you know, I'm thankful for my memories, and at the same time, all too often they haunt me. You know, what a heck of a place to be in, right? And I'm sure you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, 100%. 100%.
Yeah, so what's up, man? How you doing, man?
I'm grateful to hear you on this side of that emotion. I'm grateful to be doing another show with you, man. You know.
Amen. Amen. Right on. Right on. Absolutely,
you know,
man.
It's March.
It's my joy, man.
Yeah, you know, and it's the month of March now. You know, there's not only is it your birthday month, but a birth month, but you know, the weather kind of gives a little bit. You know, it doesn't feel like it's holding you down too bad. I mean, hell, I opened up the windows in the house today, you know?
Absolutely. Right on, man. You know, and with me, as you know, this is when the spring of my life begins to take hold, you know, as I come out of the, not so much the doldrums, but that hypnotic time of recluse creativity. Creatively wise, you know, even though I still plan things in January, I never understand why when March rolls around, because I go through the thing of feeling frustrated, not able to complete anything. Why did I do this? You know, and March rolls around and I laugh with myself. Every year you approach this like the previous year didn't happen. So for me, you know, my season of hibernation, you know, runs through December, January, and February. Starts loosening the grip a little bit, you know, near the end of February, and you know, starts taking root once again.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, me
March.
Too.
Yeah, so,
me too.
Right on, man. My man, me check too. You out, my man.
Yeah. So
let me get out of the way so you can do the due diligence, man.
Right on. Before we just start going back into all our feelings, having tender moments. As one of my old bosses says, having a tender moment.
Having those tender moments.
So again, you know, welcome everybody. Thank you for being a part of the show. Before Dad and I get jumping into our conversations, discussions, et cetera, so a few reminders we like to make sure we lay across. As Dad and I always say, we just like to make sure we hear ourselves say it. So the first thing is that we always want to remind you all to grab a pencil and paper, a pen and pad, a post-it note, a marker, the back of an envelope, a napkin. I don't care what you got. We want to make sure that you got something to write with. You may have some questions. You may have some comments. We don't want you to forget them, because Dad and I use 1,000 words because 100 words won't do. But that's not to say that we won't disregard your questions and comments, but we want to make sure that you don't forget them. So write it down. You may pick up something from our discussion tonight. You may pick up something from the listening audience. Somebody may call in, or you may have something, again, you want to share with us and the listening audience as well. So, again, we just ask that you write it down so you don't forget. The second thing is that, unlike other podcast shows, which are very popular, we offer the opportunity for you to still engage with us like the old school talk shows. We still have an old school format, but kind of a new school approach. So we'd like for you to engage with us. There's a few ways you can do it. You can call in directly. I'm sure you have a pen and paper handy by now. Again, this is on the live shows Mondays and Wednesday nights. You can dial in directly to area code 516-453-6094. I'll say it twice because it's so nice. 516-453-6094. And if you want to chime in, press 1 on your keypad. That'll bring your number in the queue, and Dad and I will bring you in as soon as we can. The other ways to engage is that we have a chat room on the Blog Talk Radio site itself, blogtalkradio.com/thegreenhouseeffect, greenhouse FX, the letter FX. You can access the chat room with your free Blog Talk Radio profile. I didn't even see if anybody's in there yet. Not yet, but it's always a lively time in the chat room. So if you're not filling up the calling in, you can use the chat room, or you can even use the Facebook event page that we always set up, that we send out invitations. You can always chime in and type in your questions, your comments, and things like that in the discussion tab of the event page. So that's just a few of the announcements from Will and Bill, those green boys.
Yeah, one of the things that we have no control over is periodically our broadcast might come across a little bit distorted, or the sound maybe a little, a little bit. And there's nothing we can do about that. That's Blog Talk Radio. And sometimes it's the ion, sometimes it's just the weather in general. It's just whatever's happening between here, out here, Illinois, and I'm in Texas, Illinois and New York. And we have no control over that. So it's not like, you know, our equipment is rank. It's just, you know, it's the power of the signal. So, I mean, you can't, you know, I heard everything you said. So hopefully those who got, you know, your explanations of how to reach us were able to capture whatever they may have needed to. One of the things, though, we might want to also remind folks that to engage the chat room, they'll require membership using the a credit card or a debit card. You won't be charged for it. No one ever has in the years we've been doing this show. But that's the only way, right? Am I correct about that, Wilfredo?
That is correct. Only I've been charged and that.
Yeah.
Only we've been charged. That's it. Just us.
Yeah, and that's because we have more than just two people. Yeah. Go ahead.
It's our show. You know what I'm saying? Just because it's our show. We pay for our
right.
show. That's...
yeah.
No, I'm
yeah,
sorry,
yeah.
man. I'm sorry. I'm just, you know, lightening the situation. But, yeah, nobody's been charged. You just set up a profile. And you can set it up for free. I'm sorry, Dad. Go ahead.
But that's needed in order to be able to access the chat room. That's what I was asking, if I'm correct about that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yes, sir.
Yep. Yeah. So, you know, that's just to let folks know in case somebody comes on and says, oh, I can't get in the chat room. Well, you haven't opened up an account. So that's the one thing that would be required. Other than that, yeah, let's rock and roll, man.
Yeah. And you know, Dad, I'm sorry, excuse me. And that's one of the reasons why I mentioned the Facebook event page. You know, some people may not feel comfortable with using their credit card, even though they won't be charged, you know, so.
Okay, good point, right.
Yes, so instead of going through the rigmarole of, you know,
rigmarole.
Dealing with that that anxiety, you know, use the Facebook event page. You know, Dad and I send out, 1,000 invitations a week, so I'm sure that some people listening out there have received these invites. And, again, you can utilize that event page as well to engage with us, because people have done it before, so I know it's possible.
Yeah, so Monday seems like it was a week ago, right? just a couple of days ago. Man, it's things just take off, right? Yeah. How the news just doesn't sit still. And in part, that's why I'm glad we've kind of carved out our niche to, you know, more or less focus on a black perspective of the news instead mm-hmm. of just repeating what everyone's already heard. Because people are going to be hard-pressed to turn on cable news and find at the forefront, not in the background, but at the forefront, a black perspective of the news. Now, I know, you know, on MSNBC they have Joy Reid, and I love her presentation. I love her show. But Joy Reid is MSNBC-driven, and although she'll make commentaries periodically about issues that affect black people, you know, still, you know, the mothership runs the show, so to say. So the topics at hand are going to get the full brunt of efforts. And, you know, my girl, Rachel Maddow, is a white female who I love listening to how she researches the topics at hand. I mean, that's really been a great influence on me. But really, you know, we're kind of out there, you know, in our own boat, open, and it's an open roof boat, so we're out here, you know, ready to receive whatever criticisms will come our way from white, black, and other representatives of the various races in regards to the topics we cover. But if not us, then who? You know, and if not now, then when, right? So with Abraham Maslow saying, you know, of course I like to say, if not who, then you. If not when, then now. And so that's what we do. And that's what I really appreciate doing with you, man. You know, like, even though there's a 25-year gap between us, you know, 75 this month and 50, you know, and it's not, and our conversations are not layered with this soupy, you know, validation of each other's perspective. You get your points of view, I get my points of view, and we don't always agree, right? You know,
right.
But we don't always disagree either. And it's an open forum. However, I do need to say that you're much more color friendly than I am.
here we go.
Well, man, yeah. And I don't see Adam out there, so he would validate it for me if he was, you know. So anyway, man, thank you for, as not just a co-host of the show, but as a father to a son, you know, thank you for letting me be a part of this with you, man. And thank you for being a part of this with me. It means a lot, man. It means a lot.
Right on. Yeah, same here. Same here.
Okay, same enough here. Of that, right?
Tender moment.
All right.
Tender moment.
Tender moment. Yeah, tender moment. So, Monday, before I get to cranking it out, where you at, man? You got something you want to throw out this way?
Well, you know, sometimes we get into, like, some discussions of current events, you know, but what were you going to say about Monday?
Yeah, I wanted to pick back up on some of the discussion around the Supreme Court and its 25 landmark cases. Yeah.
Right. We mentioned, that's right, Monday.
But I didn't want to let old news get in the way of new news. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think the one of the things, and we can come back to it. I mean, it's all, you know, related, and I love the way we connect the dots. Anyway, if we had some time, you know, if you had any thoughts about the State of the Union address, but let's keep going with you know, just where we left off Monday, because I think, you know, as you mentioned, we both mentioned that there's a lot of things about the Supreme Court that we don't really know about, and I know you've been kind of you've been digging your rabbit hole, going down this this knowledge of the Supreme Court and its history, especially looking at the history that's being made right now with the Supreme Court. So, yeah, let's jump right into it, because I think that this,
yeah, and that's, go ahead.
I was just saying, I think that this will require more than one night, so I'm very curious to see which way we're going to go in this discussion. So, yeah, I'm ready. You know, I'm ready for it.
Well, yeah, but what you said just a second ago is really the driving force behind even pursuing the content of the topic, right? with the nomination of Ketanji Brown. That in itself is, the nomination hasn't really taken full force as far as the vetting process, but still it's already made its mark in the news, you know, and not just taking a look at her character, her qualifications, you know, anything at all that you would think a level-minded country would do. Instead, we have to deal with this backlash, this constant backlash of almost a sense of how dare he. You know, I heard comments, read comments, and heard it on the news, comments that suggested, you know, the backlash suggests that this is affirmative action, but in a negative connotation, like, you know, how dare he do this? And by her nomination and by him pushing her nomination as he did before he was even elected, you know, people like Ted Cruz and a host of others. When you say Ted Cruz, you pretty much know the collection of clown heads I'm talking about, decided that meant that what he did immediately eliminated the possibility of a white man or any other qualified white person, female, or any other black person, male, you know, of even being considered. You know, I mean, this is supreme idiocy that we deal with in a country that is so damn color phobic. You know, it's just, it never, anyway, I'm about to go off on a dirt road. So that's what got me going. And also Nephew Ray kind of nudged me along when he said, wow, the Supreme Court, that really would open up a heck of a discussion on your show. And he said that on Monday morning. But not realizing that we have covered different topics on our shows. We talked about, we talked about Dred Scott, right? We went into depth talking about how he connected with Manifest Destiny in a roundabout way. You know, we talked about Plessy, you know, versus Ferguson. And, you know, we didn't talk about cases, but we definitely talked about the parallel of individuals and denominations like Carol. Dale O'Connor didn't stir up nearly the waters that Ketanji Brown's nomination had, you know, Sandra Day O'Connor, I'm sorry. And even, you know, the nomination of Thurgood Marshall that was received by 90% of Congress didn't stir up much of a wave of conflict. But also the contrast, you know, like the first woman, the first black man, you know, and what has followed since. And I guess it's safe to say there's been another black man on the Supreme Court. All right, well, let me just leave it at that.
Yeah, we'll just leave it at that. Absolutely.
But the problem is, you know, contrasting the efforts to bring about civil rights to American society, and that's where, you know, that's where I just come to a screeching halt. You know, there's no comparison of the two as far as efforts and votes, you know, made toward, you know, the improvement of civil rights. Whereas, you know, female judges on the Supreme Court have, for the most part, been consistent in their feeling about the law. I can't speak too much about the young lady who just received a seat. But it was not a secret that she's against abortion, which seemed to me would have triggered much more of a reaction in America than it did. But anyway, so the fascination about this whole thing for me is, how much do I really know about the Supreme Court? I mean, I know that the Supreme Court has always been there, but it hasn't always been there. Nothing American has always been there, because indigenous peoples have always been there. So everything else has been kind of an added attraction. So as far as the Supreme Court is concerned, you know, it was established. The irony of it is that it was established to achieve a complete separation between the United Kingdom's senior judges and the upper house of parliament, emphasizing the independence of the law lords and increasing the transparency between Parliament and the courts. meaning America was a colony of English people, not just English men, you know, but still held by British rule. And so everything about the Supreme Court evolved from that premise. It wanted to show its laws being separate from the laws that dominated the law as they knew it, but wanted to set up a separate process of law, you know, that would be more contingent with the realities of the colonies living separate and apart from the motherland, and the motherland making, you know, making these kinds of, how can I put it, these demands on the colonies that made it that much more difficult for them to live in harmony amongst themselves. You know, so the Supreme Court, as it began to develop, you know, we're talking about, you know, jumping right in there, from 1803 on, has a series of landmark decisions that have been made. But the issue for me is, where is the consistency? And I can't find any, but I can't find it from a black perspective. That doesn't mean it can't be found from a non-black perspective. As a matter of fact, I'm pretty sure the majority of America has been just fine with what the Supreme Court decides by being the Supreme Court. But nevertheless, when we get it more into the details of some of their decisions, we can see how its impact, although designed to be colorblind, has been definitely influenced by the issues of color, depending on the circumstances of the time. An example would be obviously Dred Scott versus Hanford in 1857. You know, the Constitution, and this was a statement made by Chief Justice Roger Taney, you know, that the Constitution does not consider slaves to be U.S. citizens. This is 1857 now. You know, this is roughly, what, 90 years before I was born, just 90 years. You know, the Constitution does not consider slaves to be U.S. citizens. Rather, constitutionally protected property of their masters. And this opinion, which was one of the most important and scorned in the nation's history, although later overturned by the 13th Amendment, you know, his rationale was he thought making this kind of statement and ruling against Dred Scott would help defuse the threat of civil war, which in fact did just the opposite. It infused it. You know, so that still has long-reaching effects. Yeah, I know we can say we're not slaves anymore, but that has never stopped, you know, Jim Crow laws from treating us like we still are. And Jim Crow laws are still alive and well. All we need to do is look at a place like Texas that is, you know, doing what it's doing to restructure districts to control the vote, not necessarily eliminate it, but make it so difficult to vote and then have the vote counted in the way it's meant to be counted, you know, by an equal representation. It makes one wonder, how does the Supreme Court, how does the government justify something that was literally ruled against in law, you know, in 1865? So, you know, then Plessy versus Ferguson, you know, which, again, Jim Crow laws are constitutional under the doctrine of separate but equal. That was the statement of the Supreme Court regarding this guy, Homer Plessy, who refused to leave a railroad car that prohibited colored people from sitting, you know, among whites. And, you know, here was the issue. Under Louisiana law, Plessy was colored because he was 1/8 black. Now, Will, you know, I know you are far more advanced than me when it comes to traditional education. Like, I don't think I ever got out of biology 101 in high school. So help me understand, how is 1/8 measured? Is that measured by generation? You know, is that measured by parents? Is that measured by the family tree? You know, how does one detect 1/8? I thought blood, you know, I mean, I thought blood within an individual It doesn't separate itself off, does it? It pretty much flows.
I mean, yeah, it kind of goes with what you were saying about the COVID vaccination, right? Like they don't have like one syringe just for, you know, one part of the people, and then they got this other for the other part of the people, you know, so they can detect which percentage of you have this virus. I mean, yeah, no, you know. You know, they have this technology now, you know, where they can figure out these percentages. But I'm with you on that, you know.
Yeah,
I'm with you on that. You know, I'm thinking, you know, I'm like 1/8 because my measurements were never really that good either. I'm either using a gas tank thing in my ride and the dashboard, you know, or I'm measuring the amount of cream I'm putting in my coffee. You know, other than that, it's kind of hard for me to figure out what the heck is the eighth.
So what does that do to the other seven eighths? I mean, isn't that the majority? But anyway, you know, I just want to the court ruled that race-based Jim Crow laws did not violate the Constitution as long as the states proffered separate but equal treatment. Now, I don't know how you proffer separate but equal treatment. I don't know if that means you have a sink, a water fountain in public that says white only, and a water fountain, you know, in public that says colored only. And is the plumbing required to be exactly the same? You know, that's not the pictures I saw. But is it considered to be equal because it's the same water? You know, I don't understand this separate but equal. You know, and besides, black folks' experience has been anything but separate but equal. It has been separate but separate. You know, I defy anybody to say otherwise. You know, but the ruling, still being what it was, here's the thing. The Constitution is colorblind and neither knows nor tolerates classes among citizens. And that was something, a statement made by Justice John Marshall Harlan as the long dissenting opinion in Plessy versus Ferguson. So he was the only voice that cried out to differ because of what the Constitution states. And I'm not sure, you know, like Chicago, right, on the far south side, there's a high school, John Marshall Harlan High School. And I'm not sure that any of the students know who he was, you know, and what he, you know, what he represented in the Supreme Court. So here's the inconsistency. You have the majority vote, but you still have a dissenting vote that says, no, wrong is wrong. You know, and I'm not sure. See, to me, that if nowhere else should be common knowledge at John Marshall Harlan High School, that should be the thing that all the students learn. You know, that above everything else, you're going to know who this guy is, who the school is named after. I don't know. I mean, I've never asked anybody. And Arlene's not here today. But she went to Harlan. I would like to ask her if that was something that they learned while at the school. I don't know if you knew anybody from Harlan. You know, I went to the hood. I went to Englewood.
No.
And, you know, like you were protected from all that. You went to the South.
But
you had to deal with racist white Catholics. But you were safe. You know,
that
was considered to be a better
sometimes
experience. Yeah, you were never safe, man. You were right on the edge of Bridgeport.
I was on the edge of Bridgeport. We were right near Dunbar. The projects, I can't remember the name of those projects right now, but the projects is over there.
Robert Taylor Homes. Thank you.
Yeah, the Robert Taylor's
right
now. So it was separate and but equal in regards of the dangers in the street.
Anyway, I just really wanted to just touch upon, you know, those two. And of course, there's Brown versus the Board of Ed, and you know, there's the others too that hopefully one day we'll go more into depth, because these issues are going to come up again. Roe versus Wade, you know, is going to bust out, and you know, we did talk some about Muhammad Ali, you know, and the uniqueness of that, and that initially was found guilty and therefore sentenced by the Supreme Court to begin to serve, only for it to reverse its own course and unanimously decided, no, they were wrong in their estimation. that in fact he had every right to be a conscientious objector based on his religious conviction. You know, and so the consistent inconsistency of the Supreme Court was never meant to be, according to its own preamble, at all influence or to become a part of government, yet we can see, you know, Trump's influence in the Supreme Court today. So anyway, I just kind of wanted to just cover that, just to wrap it up and tie a nice bow around it to be looked at, you know, some future shows. So that was
well,
it. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm sorry, excuse me. I still want to look further into it, you know, and I really,
amen.
I really didn't do a whole lot, but in just a little bit that I started to look at, like, I didn't know out of the nine, how many is there? Eight, nine?
Mm-hmm. Nine.
Justice, nine.
Nine, yeah.
Justices.
Yeah.
I didn't know that three of them were appointed by Trump. I don't know how,
yeah,
I missed that.
Three.
Yeah,
right.
I don't
That's
know
what
how
I
missed
my last
that.
Statement. Yeah.
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 Yeah. I think what two were appointed from Obama. That's left three from Bush and Clinton, and then one from Clinton. So it's like, wow. Yeah, I didn't realize that Trump had such an impact in such a short amount of time.
And let his intentions be known. You know, see, this is what I mean by the consistent inconsistencies. So depending on the viewpoint of what is making the loudest noise in American society, that almost always dictates the path that the president is going to pursue. However, in Trump's case, he did kind of a Reagan sleight of hand, you know, in that, you know, his Make America Great thing, you know, shook the rafters on the heels of Obama's 8 years in office. Can you imagine what racist, bigoted, redneck, white America, this just talking about that group, not making this everybody. Can you imagine what that must have been like for them to have to look at this dude for 8 years sitting in the White House? You know, well, if you don't believe it had an impact, then look at the guy who came right after him. Backlash all over again. And everything that we've been dealing with is the result of that backlash. All of these crazy, inconsistent attitudes and behaviors from all of our lawmakers that somehow suggest, no, we may have ruled that, you know, you black men, you know, as a result of the Emancipation Proclamation, have the right to vote even before we gave it to white women. But I hope you're not really taking them serious. You know, and it's just, you know, it's, you know, and so he raised the steam like Reagan did. You know, I remember all too well Reagan's battle cry was for the silent majority to speak up, you know, and they rose up and they chased out one of my favorite presidents, you know, Jimmy Carter, you know, and who I thought was at least intellectually equal to Lincoln, just not really having the forum to show it, you know. And I just thought that guy had a lot more personality and people allowed him to show, but chased him right on up out of there, you know. And the same thing that Nixon picked up on that, you know, obviously Trump studied well. He knew that the battle cry of America was maybe not make America great again, but based on those racist, bigoted, separatist, supremacist attitudes was let's make America white again, you know, and that's what he really should have called. He should have called it MAWA instead of MAGA, you know. But you know, that's my point of view in all that. So, did I cut you off, man? Did I jump in too rash?
No, I it's cool. Actually, just to slightly retract, I said three justices were nominated by Bush, but to be more specific, two were nominated by the younger Bush, and the older Bush appointed your boy, who's actually been there the longest now, 30 years, 130 days.
Right. So really, you could have just put an S at the end of it, and you would have been covered. The Bushes.
The Bushes. Right. Yeah. Well.
Yeah, they're nominated to me. That is all right. You know, but that's all right. You know, we're good. I see a familiar name out in our chat room, but I don't want to embarrass her by saying her name in front of the millions.
The millions
of those listeners. You know, but welcome to the chat room, Wendy. But I'm saying it anyway, right? But welcome to the chat room, Wendy. You're more than a welcome addition. So, Phil, what now?
Now what?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I cut in ahead of the applause. Give her back that applause, man. Yeah. No, that's for you, Wendy. She said thank you. You're more than welcome.
Yeah, thank you, and I appreciate you. And thank you for your patience in dealing with the website.
Right.
Not only just listening to Dad and I, but dealing with the website. I see she's been in and out. And we said something earlier. We kind of sensed that there were some issues with our connection tonight. So thank you for, you get kicked out, you come back in. So thank you for that. Appreciate your patience.
Absolutely. And thank you, man, for acknowledging that. Because we don't do it enough, and people do get bounced out a lot in and out.
Yeah.
Sometimes even we do. I think I had an issue about a week ago. Yeah.
And we've both been there. Like, you be talking forever. Right. You're like, hello? Oh, shit, I'm not on the show. Oh, my God.
Oh, shucks.
Oh, shucks. That's not what we really say.
Wendy posted a comment in chat room. Obama had no Supreme Court justices. They stole his nomination. That's that guy, Merrick. I think that's his name. The name is slipping me. They stole his nomination. They held the seat. Mitch McConnell did that. Yeah, he did. You know, Mitch McConnell. Yeah, I remember that. That's right. The guy who's the Attorney General now. And I don't know why his name escapes me, because his name has always been on the forefront of my mind. But, he was, that nomination was held up. Yeah, Obama never got anybody pushed through.
What about Sotomayor and Kagan, the two women on their name?
Well, but let's see what Wendy has to say about that, because I didn't – is that what you saw, that those were two nominations that – were voted in as a result of Obama's nomination?
Right. And this way I can make sure I get my information straight, too. But, that's just one of the things that I've always been working on doing this show anyway, especially with you. I got to have my facts straight. You know, I'm talking with the Lions historian here, so I got to make sure I'm good.
Merrick Garland. Merrick Garland. So me too. And because that wasn't really my focus at this juncture, but instead more of past history, I'm not up on that either. And it seems like I should be. I should know every inch and every fold of what went down during Obama's stay. And, I have to admit I don't. No, but you're right. This is what this show has pushed me to do as well.
Pushed both of us, man. And hopefully
absolutely.
The other people, to see Wendy jumping in, and helping us out. Artie, Arlene comes in and she gives us some information too. Heck, even Adam sometimes gives us some information, things that we can use on the show. So, is why we're doing it.
And we don't mind being slapped around, right? Yeah. What are you talking about out there, you silly Negroes?
Silly Negroes.
So what's been going on? We're already pushing the last, we're at the three-quarter mark already, I tell you. Authorine Lucy Foster, the first black student to enroll at the University of Alabama, died today. She was 92 years old. Ms. Foster, in February 1956, briefly attended. Now, this is the supreme lunacy of American society. Ms. Foster, in February 1956, briefly attended classes at the then all-white University of Alabama before being expelled 3 days later after her presence brought protests and threats against her life. Ms. Foster, a graduate student studying education, right, faced hostile crowds hurling debris and racial charges and racially charged threats her way, you know. And I'm reminded of something that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said when I read this this brief obit, Ms. Foster, you know. And it was something he said after being hit in the head with a brick while leading marches through Marquette Park on the south side of Chicago in August of 66, that he'd never seen such hatred, even in the deepest parts of the segregated South, as he experienced in Marquette Park. And I'm sure that, you know, if something inside of those racist redneck bigots from Marquette Park were proud to hear him say that, man. You know, like, yeah, that's right. We're out showing the South. This is what hate is all about. You know, and then Senator Wendy Rogers, right? Will, you got anything to say about Senator? Well, before we get into that, Wendy popped back on. I don't know if you saw it or not, but she gave you your props, man. She said you were correct about the two ladies. You know, yeah, that's something. And I have to admit, I forgot about that. You know, that's not fresh on my mind. Isn't that a trip?
I forgot what she. Yeah, I forgot what she what she added. What she continued to talk about. And I do remember. I don't remember the details, but I do remember something about a third seat. Something that he was trying to get filled. I don't remember the details.
Yeah,
that's
Merrick Garland. He's the Attorney General now. You know.
Okay.
But you know, just read the rest that she said. This would have made a liberal court. Mitch McConnell wasn't going to have that. So you know, but you don't have control of the Senate. You can pretty much bet very little as president you're trying to push through is going to get through. The House, you know, yeah, I'd at least get it to the Senate floor. You know, but Obama fought against. He had to deal with these issues. You know, in so many ways, his experience for 8 years reminds me of Harold. And what Harold Washington, I'm sorry, y'all, I'm talking like, you know, you hear Harold, and right away, you know, I'm talking about the first black mayor of Chicago, Harold Washington, what he had to deal with a consul, you know, and that consul of eight and how they were just determined not to let him get any legislation through. But he dealt with it up until his death, you know. And I see, although Obama hasn't died, even though they tried to kill him, you know, with resistance. You know, as elegant as he was, you know, which people don't give him nearly enough credit for, which I understand, you know, nevertheless, understanding it doesn't soften the blow any, you know, what he could have gotten done, not along with what he did get done, but what he could have gotten done if this had been a truly a democratic state, a democratic country that we live in, you know, how it would have influenced the state of direction of this country and would have made January 6th of last year impossible. You know, America being what it is, you know, we just never really know how deeply rooted racism is in this country until something contrary to racism rules. And then we see the backlash every single time. That's been consistent with American history since the Emancipation Proclamation, man. You know, and for me, you know, I can't get past the years I've, you know, been living, you know, these years I've been an American, you know, whether people want to call me, you know, colored, you know, Negro, Black, Afro, or African American, whatever they want to imply, you know, the bottom line is for my consciousness, American is what I've been, and what has hurt most is the way my fellow Americans have treated me, you know, as if something wrong. I still don't get it. How do I owe America an apology for being a product of America? Yeah, so it was hard for me to listen to the State of the Union address, only because of my selfish nature, in that if I'm not hearing, hey, and that's not the not to at all make any disparaging comments about, you know, the heroic efforts of Ukraine. you know, I'm not going to put myself in a position to even say it, suggest anything like that. But I still don't feel like I owe America an apology for refusing to remain bracketed by the parentheses of, oh, yeah, that's right, there are black people here that we don't treat, you know, in an equal form as being as much of this democratic society as the rest of us are. That's the greater right, white privilege that I see, whether you're racist or whether you're liberal. You know, the greater privilege that you enjoy as a white person is that you don't have to deal with the issues black people have to deal with day in and day out. You can empathize and maybe even tell yourself you sympathize, but you just don't know. And all you have to go by is how you practice being white. You know, and unless you allow me to give you a contradiction to your pursuits of your idea of what democracy is, you'll never understand, you know, the struggles of a black person. What did Ralph Ellison say? You know, I am an invisible man. Although it is rather advantageous to be invisible, it can be rather wearing on the nerves. Amen, Brother Ralph. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
And then Wendy raises the Tea Party. Oh, my God, how could we forget the Tea Party, right? You know, that's what gave us people like Alan West and Herman Cain, the Pizza King. You know, man, I'm telling you, what a country. You know, what a country.
Right, yeah. the Tea Party, that's what Wendy was saying after Mitch McConnell put a stop to that third seat. Then that was the time of the Tea Party, which is, it was just what we see now. What's going on now?
Yeah, remember Michelle Bachmann? Do we remember, you know, Sarah Palin? So many. Alan West, Herman. I mean, do we remember any of these folks? What about Eric Cantor and Paul Ryan? You know, these individuals that have come and gone, you know. Even Boehner, who was the chair for a while, you know, the majority chair. You know, these names have come and gone, and it's like, still, we're dealing with the very issues that American democracy was supposed to have settled, what, 300 years ago? Well, the fallacy of the country. So it's hard for me when I hear the State of the Union and I'm not hearing the issues of the Union being addressed fully from a racial perspective. These themes of voter rights, these themes of equal rights, these themes of fairness, you know, that a democratic society is supposed to be about, just never seems to reach all the way down to the fiber of its society that includes me. You know, so anyway, you know, excuse my editorializing. But, you know, sometimes the show brings that out of me, man. What can I say? So did you have anything to say about Wendy Rogers? You know, wow, what a character.
Well, I'm just glad that they shut her up. I mean, you know. To a degree, you know, then, you know, you see the, anyway, I was just thinking about this person who applauded the censoring, who just days ago was supporting her, and just going through the article that we looked at. But no, I mean, I didn't have too much for her, man. Just Senator Wendy Rogers. I at times I'm amazed by the ignorance that come out of these people mouths who are supposed to be these leaders and the people to speak for the people. And they just seem like they're just speaking for themselves. And I'm baffled, just baffled at times. But you can get into that.
Well, you know, it's not really much to get into. And rather than get into all of it, just the highlights, you know, being from Arizona and her violent and discriminatory comments is what, you know, discriminatory comments is what did her in. You know, but she made it to a white nationalist conference. So, you know, this white nationalist conference is still going on. She goes to it, and she makes her feelings be known. So we can say what we want about her, but what sets me adrift, so to say, has to do with the people that voted for her. You know, she had enough votes to be able to be to be a state senator from Arizona. And so, yeah. Great. You know, her comments did her in only to the extent of being censored, but nevertheless, 13 Dems and 13 Democrats and 11 Republicans you know, voted to censor her in public, which hadn't been done in 30 years, you know, not publicly anyway. And what the comment that you were making, the irony is that, but maybe not so ironic, right, that the action taken was applauded by Arizona Governor Ducey. Just days prior was criticized for his support of her. You know, so right. You know, it's the inconsistency of American society, and those are the comments that didn't make it to the State of the Union. And people give their reasons why. You know, he didn't want to. You know, I think what did Michelle Obama say? When they go low, we go high. Well, sometimes, you know, yeah, but this is just the raw dog hood rat in me. You know, sometimes when they go low, we got to dig a little deeper. You know, maybe it's time for us to go a little lower, you know, and start slinging some mud back, you know, and toss a couple bricks back. You know, let people know that, you know, enough is enough. But anyway, retired televangelist, right, Pat Robertson, says Putin is being compelled by God to invade Ukraine. He used the country as a staging ground to launch an attack on Israel and bring about end times, not just Israel, but Iran, Turkey, and Bulgaria as well. And his quote is, and I quote, all of that area is going to be mobilized against Israel in the latter days. And God says, again quoting Robertson, I would really like to know what God's voice sounds like in his head. I am going to deal with it. This is his quote of what God said to him. I am going to deal with it, unquote. And still quoting him. So I unquoted what he said. God said, now I'm going back to quoting him. So you can look at your map and read your newspapers. You can listen to your news. But know of a fact, God is bringing to pass what he prophesied years ago through his servant Ezekiel. Now, Ezekiel was a little bit longer than a few years ago. You know, but you know, again, America, we don't have a real consistent attitude about history. We kind of, you know, we're kind of immediacy focused folks, you know. So people start bringing history. Most folks just go, yeah, okay, whatever, you know, but not really investigating, you know, what are we talking about? So, you know, when he says he prophesies through his servant Ezekiel, most people go, ooh, wow, Skippy, you know, he's saying what God said about Ezekiel. So, you know, there's a lot that has transpired. But I tell you, I'll go back and read Ezekiel once again. And Ezekiel, now the book of Ezekiel, is loaded with a lot of symbolism. So maybe in the symbolic interpretation, I'll understand how Ukraine showed up. But so let me hold my ground and let me just not show my ignorance. I would really like to find what God had to say to Ezekiel about Ukraine and Russia. You know, and Bulgaria, and Turkey, and Iran, yeah, amen, and Israel, yeah. Even though, you know, everybody in the Old Testament were Hebrew, they were Jew, you know, Orthodox or otherwise. So I don't know. But of course, that's not how we understand it. We think of, you know, think of something different through the New Testament than what something old in the Old Testament was speaking of. Let's see, Wendy popped back into the chat room. What did she say? Can you see it? I lost my glasses.
Enablers to mainstream hate, like the Citizens Council of the South during Jim Crow.
Yeah. There you go. Okay.
Adding on to
right on.
The birth of the Tea Party to what we have now.
Right. Yeah.
These cats, Citizen Council of the South. Yeah, so that's, you know, another piece of connecting the dots that wasn't even intentional. And like I said, there's this rabbit hole that you decided to start digging of the Supreme Court. And just looking at, you know, the Obama administration and just how that branches off into so many different veins and brings us to where we are now. So that's pretty cool. It's cool to a certain point, just acquiring the knowledge, to kind of, again, connect these dots, man, and figure out where the heck are we? What's going on?
Where the heck are we? Right, yeah, man. Yeah.
You say, what yeah. now?
Now what?
Right, you know?
Amen. Yeah, I think I think she got knocked off again, but that's all right. You know, thank you, Wendy, for your comments. You know, because we hit the 8 o'clock mark. Is that what knocked her off?
No,
they shouldn't have. Right, just Block Talk Radio doing its thing. Okay, man. All right, man. I'm gonna get out your way so you can land this airplane. You know, great show, man. Thank you.
Let me get a little something in tonight. Let me get a little bit. So I know you went really, and I'm just kind of adding on to what you were saying about the State of the Union address, because I did take a moment to, check out the whole thing.
Right.
And you know, just see what he was talking about. But like you said, there's so many different ones that we've listened to. You know, there's really not a whole lot that's addressed to the situations and the problems that are right in front of us. He was talking about COVID, and this is what I'm getting at. He was talking about COVID, right? And he was saying how he's preparing to approach to ask for more money to provide, you know, more masks and more vaccinations, being proactive against new variances and stuff like that. And he used the term he talked about the division of America. And I had to keep rewinding this for a minute because I'm like, what's he talking about? And I guess he was talking about the division of America where, you know, I guess we continue to argue, should you wear a mask and not wear a mask or get vaccinated?
Oh, yeah, that's what he was referring to. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and so that's exactly what he was referring to.
And I'm sitting there looking at all my notes, and he's talking about this division of America coming from the COVID and the situations where we are now. And, yeah, I agree with you. You know, I'm with you. Not at one time was there any discussion about the matters of race in the country? You know, he mentioned Ms. Jackson's nomination, you know, and I'm trying to think of anything else about people of color. He talked about changing the immigration policies and stuff like that. He talked about funding the police, not defunding, but funding for resources and better training, you know, but that was it. You know, there was really no nothing.
And he spoke a lot about Ukraine, which is how he started out, what a president would do under these circumstances. But again, let's not pretend that these circumstances are balanced times here in America. So you're right. At least I agree with the pretext of what you're saying, that for him to take on the issues of color and race and civil rights would have meant he would have had to challenge, you know, his compadre, you know, who said, as he put it, on his friends to sit on the other side of the aisle. He would have attacked, you know, the lunacy of the January 6th insurgency. He would have had to address Marjorie Taylor Greene, whatever, I think that's her name. He would have had to speak on the various deaths that have occurred over the course of the last year to black men. You know, he would have had to speak to those things to address the other thing. So let's avoid one to not deal with any backlash from the other. So let's keep it focused on the perspective of privilege. We can do this when we're the ones who run it. We can speak from a place of privilege, and we'll just let the parenthesis remain. Oh, yeah, that's right. There are black people, but we're really doing everything we can to take care of them. You know, that's, pretty much how it hit me between the eyes.
In closing, just about the State of the Union, this is not a knock against Joe. I'm not knocking Joe, but listening to his State of the Union address lets me know that nobody's perfect in speech giving, you know, and I feel a little better when I get nervous and I stumble over words and doing public speaking. You know, I mean, like Obama was, you know, I mean, Obama's Obama, man. Can't nobody match his mic skills,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, no, right. You know, let's not use him, man. He's on another trip.
But the thing about Trump was Trump didn't care. So it was even easier just to come off the head and just say what you wanted to say because he didn't care. So So, but you know, I mean, seriously, I felt better about myself, you know, and it was just kind of, you know, let me be clear. I guess that's his thing. He said, let me be clear. He always says that. I'm going to go back and see what are the catchphrases that these different presidents say every time they give a speech. But, and just the other thing, I was having a moment watching them, you know, and as they do in every State of the Union, it always chuckles me, and I just wanted to share it. It always chuckles me how, like, one half of the room always gets up and applauds, and the other half just sits there with their arms folded. You know, it kind of reminded me of Harlem Nights.
Right.
Remember in Harlem Nights?
During the fight,
right. The white boxer hit the black boxer, and the white people stand up. The jacket hit the white guy, and all the black people stand up. I was just having my moments, and I just wanted to share it. I thought it was real funny. And just that they keep getting up and down. You know, they get up and down a lot. Like they go to a Catholic church. It's just really funny. You know, today's Ash Wednesday. They get up and down a lot, man. I'm like,
Although I got to hand it to last night. There was more on both aisles standing up at certain times than I've seen in a while. You know, but again, it was usually around like the topics of the Ukraine, the issues around COVID, and to some degree even. There was some bipartisan response to the concerns about the economy, you know. I definitely was clearly divided for the 8 years Obama was in office. You know, it was just like you said. You know, during that movie Harlem Nights. You know, when you know, old boy hit the white dude, all the black folks jumped up, who were way in the back, right? So you didn't even know there until, you know, something happened. You know, they would immediately sit down as soon as the white dude hit the black box, and then all the white folks would stand up. Yeah, that was very obvious during Obama's tenure, more than any time we've seen before. I just wanted to add one quick thing, other thing, man, when you about Trump not having the gift of oratory skills. That was something that those who supported, backed, and voted for him found appealing about him. Again, backlash. They had to listen for 8 years to this black dude speaking eloquently in language they didn't understand. As a matter of fact, they had issues with his intelligence. So, let's bring this fat slob up here who stumbles on his words. That's all right. He's speaking for us. You know, that's the strangeness of this country, that you have an issue with intelligence, education, that you rebel against poverty and the poor and definitely have no place in your heart at all for anything that comes with civility pertaining to rights. I'm sorry, man. I just needed to sneak that in. I apologize.
All right. Yeah, it's cool. It's cool. And also the other cool thing about last night was the first time we had two women sitting behind him.
Sitting behind him, man. Right on,
sitting back
right
there.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yep.
No, you're right. Yeah, that was very cool.
Yep. All right. So anything else before we get up out of here?
No, man. I think I've, you know, knocked you off your what's my word? Hey, you know. Anyway, whatever it is, I can't think of the word now. Man, I'm getting old right before my, you know, I knocked you off your groove, for lack of the other word I use, enough tonight to let me shut up.
All right. Well, I unfortunately don't have the my going out theme for it that I usually lay down. My computer's really tripping. So, yeah, I'm going to need to get up off of here. But, hey, another great show, Dad. Hey, thanks, Wendy, for coming in. First time in the chat room. I'm not going to say you're a first-time listener. I hope you've been listening for a while. But if not, again, thank you for taking the time to listen to the show. Mm-hmm. And thank you to all the millions and millions of listeners out there.
Millions.
The millions. Yeah, I got to teach you how to do that one. Just watch The Rock. But this is the Great House Effect radio show where me and my dad, I'm 50, my dad's 75, we continue to provide an arch that bridges the generations, and we offer an opportunity to explore thoughts and feelings about current events, but from a Black perspective, as they share their varying points of view. So every Monday and Wednesday, live, Dad and I are on the show here, blogtalkradio.com/thegreenhousefx, the letter FX, every Monday and Wednesday, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. All shows are saved and archived on many different podcast listening platforms. So please take the time to listen to some of our shows. And we're, again, even though Dad talks about he's not caller friendly, he's cool. And besides, this is birth month, so this is a good time. So we're always up for constructive criticism, you know. Let us know what you think about the show. Let us know what's on your mind, you know. Feel free to call in and be a part of the show. So, all right, Daddy-O, until Monday, man, you take it easy.
Okay, Will, you
my
too.
My man, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for doing that. Awesome. All right, be safe, be blessed. I don't care what they say, keep a mask on and always be yourself. Amen. Until Monday. I'll talk to you then.
Amen. All righty, Will. Love you, man.
All right. Love you, too. Have a good night.
I can hear you. I can hear you move around. I'm trying to hear that. There we go.